We're going to look at 2 Peter. If you want to start turning there, you can follow with me. Peter takes an opportunity to write another letter of instruction and encouragement to other believers. He knows his time on earth is short, so he writes a last letter. And in this opening section, he says what it is he wants to be remembered about. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read the first 15. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. How will you be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? You may have heard the story of a man by the name of Alfred. He had the shocking experience of one morning reading the morning paper and reading his own obituary. Now, I know we've all joked about that you know, we wake up sometimes and look at the paper to see if we're in there or not, but it happened to him. His brother had died, and the writer that wrote it up wrote about the wrong brother. What Alfred read shocked him, because it allowed him to see himself as the world saw him. And it bothered him. It bothered him because it was not at all how he wanted to be remembered. How do you want to be remembered? Since a life lived for Christ is the only life worth living, the life lived for Christ is the only life worth remembering. In this passage, Peter gives direction for living a life to be remembered. Is your life worth remembering? A life to be remembered is powered by grace. God's unmerited favor powers life. Peter writes to those who had received faith, true faith in Christ, and he knows that this is pretty much going to be his last chance. He knew that his life, his time was short ever since that experience with Jesus on the shore of the lake. And so he writes them to remind them of the divine power, the power of grace in their lives. Grace is what's involved. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's unmerited favor. Define it however you want. It's essentially getting what you need but don't deserve. That grace is what's involved in salvation, the coming to life in Christ. Never forget that life, your life as a believer, a follower of Christ, is about grace. And then grace powers the life of holiness. Christ gives everything that you need for life and for holiness as your knowledge of Him grows. Let me tell you, the head and the heart are not divorced when it comes to spiritual growth. The head and the heart are never divorced in spiritual growth, but grace powers life. Grace powers life for everything now, and everything we're going to face tomorrow, and everything that we're going to face for however long God gives us on this earth. Grace powers that. And the glory of excellence of Christ give promises powered by grace for the future. Peter knew what was coming. He knew what was coming. And so he wrote to prepare other believers to keep living this life of grace. If you went to build a house, you'd have to drive a lot of nails. Isn't that right, Jimmy? Drive a lot of nails. There's a man who's built one or two. Now, you can do that a couple different ways. You can take that arm and that hammer and drive away. But if you also use a air compressor to power an air gun, you're going to drive just as many nails but not exert nearly as much effort. And the truth of it is that's grace, that it's that power that powers our lives. Do you remember the analogy of the three speedboats? The three boats, one of them is a speedboat. Some people want to say that the Christian life is a speedboat. Just get in and hang on. Some people want to say that the Christian life is a rowboat. The harder you work, the farther you'll go. But may I suggest to you that the Christian life is neither of those. It is a sailboat. On a sailboat, there are certain things that you have to do as the person in the boat. But the truth of it is, you do those things waiting for the power of the wind, the power of the Holy Spirit to push the boat. Well, there are things for you to do in your walk with Christ. The head and the heart are never divorced. They are in there together. There are things that you need to do, but it is the grace of God that powers the Christian life. Maybe you're kind of like Peter. You know life is hard and it's getting harder. Are you trusting in the power of the grace that God is supplying? Are you growing in your grace and knowledge of Christ? Well, what is it that you're doing to grow spiritually? What is it you're doing to put up the sails spiritually? It may be that the hardness of life comes through illness or a financial need that you're facing. Christ will take care of it. Or maybe it's the hard task of raising kids or of going to work each day. God's grace will take care of you. Every need you have, every need you'll ever have, grace covers. So rely on the power of grace. As we look forward towards communion, do not look at it as an accomplishment of some sort. Look at it as remembering Christ who willingly gave up His life for us. He willingly went to the cross to pay the sin debt that you owe but could not pay. That's grace. And this morning, maybe you find yourself here knowing that you are not a follower of Jesus Christ. Christ is calling to you. Christ is calling to you, and his message is very simple. Follow me. Follow Him. Follow Christ. Let His grace work in your life. Communion, the Lord's Supper, is a time to remember the grace that God has extended to us. Your life will be worth remembering if it is powered by grace. will your life be worth remembering? A life to be remembered is actively involved in the process of holiness. Actively involved. Pursue a godly life diligently. There's a word that I don't know if I like or not. That's that word, diligently. How diligent are you about things? Let me ask it this way. What are you diligent about? Eating? Sleeping? What else? Maybe stuff that's not really in the pursuit of holiness. Once grace has worked in your life at salvation, there is a process. This process begun requiring your effort. You're living to honor Christ and not self. Remember, it's a sailboat. A sailboat. It should be in your heart's desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Peter says to us, live in a way that pleases God, because Christ has given everything you need for life and godliness. Then he talks about a process. He says, apply all diligence to this process of transformation that was begun in you at salvation. And that process begins with faith, which was at work in salvation and is still needed. Faith, then, that Jesus is who he claims and can do what he claims and will do what he claims. And then he says, in faith, add moral excellence. And in moral excellence, knowledge, then self-control, then perseverance, then godliness, then brotherly kindness. And did you catch, as you hear about that, those steps that Peter is talking about, aren't you hearing what Blake shared with us? That there's a two, that our lives are to be lived in two directions? That there is the way, what we say, we love the Lord with our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And that's what Peter is getting at. Do you ever take something out of the refrigerator? We are leftovers people, and I will eat the last bit of leftovers. And oftentimes, knowing that my nose is not as sensitive, I'll take it over to Kim and say, how does this smell to you? Well, it's okay. I'll eat it. By George, I'll eat it. How does your life smell to the world? Because what you're doing this morning is good. It's right. You're at church. But if you're not living a life of diligence, a godly life of diligence, where there's self-control and all these things that Peter has said, then maybe your life smells to the world that something's not quite right. And the list that Peter listed there ends with love, unconditional love. A giving away of your life. It's the applying of diligence to the process of becoming like Christ. Do not ever think that you have arrived. Some time ago, there was a conversation between a minister and a man who consults with some of the largest U.S. companies about their quality control. Because he sees ministry, the minister, as a form of human quality control, the minister thought he had asked the man for some insight. The man said, in quality control, we are not concerned about the product. Not concerned about the product. And that surprised the minister, and the man went on to say, we are concerned about the process. Because if the process is right, the product is guaranteed. As your pastor, I am concerned about the process in your life. I am concerned about you doing whatever it takes in your life to become like Christ. And I just want to encourage you to seek after him like you would seek after your next breath. Seek after Christ. We so sometimes tend to desire and demand products of righteousness, but give a little attention to the process. Do you see your life somewhere in this process that Peter was talking about? What is it that you're doing to grow in Christ? Men, let me talk to you especially. What are you doing to grow in Christ? What are you doing to grow in Christ? Too many think it's this speedboat idea. In which of these virtues is Christ developing in you? I wish I could tell you that it's a straight line, that if you do this and you get that under control, that you can move to the next step and you can kind of get that under control. But the truth of it is life is never lived that way. Sometimes we go through the hard times to be taught a lesson and think, okay, I've got that lesson. Only in a year's time to go through the same lesson again because we didn't get that lesson. Or we got distracted and we forgot and we just let everything else. And he talks about this process. This morning, have you experienced saving faith? Never forget that what we call communion, the Lord's Supper, when Christ instituted it, he talked about Exodus 6:6, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. I will buy you back from your sin. I will redeem you. So this morning, gauge yourself. Are you diligent or ho-hum about Christ? What is your heart's desire? Are you growing in Christ, giving your life away? Is the result of Christ-likeness really evident in your life? Will your life be worth remembering? A life to be remembered encourages others to become like Christ. Peter knew his death was near. He knew it. And so he said that he wrote to stir them up. His life was about encouraging others to become like Christ. Peter had worked with them, he had led them, he had done what you and I would call discipled them, he had helped them grow up in Christ. Now he writes to encourage them to keep on living for Christ. Peter had invested in them, and now he was asking for a return of investment from them. And it was not for him personally. He wasn't saying, hey, I need some money, I need this. What he was saying was, I want you for the sake of the kingdom of God to keep after Christ. Because he knew the only life worth living, worth remembering, was the life lived for Christ. We have this place on one of the little banks on the side of our yard that in years past has been a yellow jacket nest. Now, what do you think those yellow jackets did when I put the mower over them? Man, they were after us. They came out with one intention, and that was punishment. But Peter says, I've written this to you to stir you up, just like a yellow jacket's nest, not to go out in punishment, but to become like Christ. To further or enlarge the kingdom of God. Is there someone that you can stir up to live for Christ? Sure there is. Just look around. That's part of why the assembling of the body of Christ is important, because we can encourage one another, stir one another up for the cause of Christ. I want to encourage you as an American Christian that too many think that it is settled done when you raise your hand. And it is not. Keep growing in Christ. Keep encouraging others. The guy I mentioned in the introduction that read his own obituary, Alfred, he had made a fortune manufacturing weapons and explosives. He was known as the Dynamite King. And to the world, that seemed okay. It seemed to be the entire purpose of his life. But he knew the obituary did not speak of the true intentions of his life. He did not wish to be remembered as the dynamite king. So he resolved then to make clear the meaning and purpose of his life. And he did so through his last will and testament. His fortune went to establish a prize given each year to those who had done the most for the cause of world peace. The Nobel Peace Prize was named after Alfred Nobel. How do you want to be remembered? As someone whose life was powered by grace? How do you want to be remembered? As someone who was pursuing holiness? How do you want to be remembered? As someone who invested in others, encouraging them to pursue Christ? How do you want to be remembered?